Father and our God, we thank you this morning again in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a joyful thing, the fellowship of the saints, Lord. Lord, we worship you for being in the midst of us. Lord, the Lord our God in the midst of us, you are mighty. Thank you for testimonies, exhortations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our fellowship is all about iron sharpening iron. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Lord, time to read the scripture right now, Lord. We trust you, Father, that you will bless us, Lord, as we read. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We will continue our series, you know, about you know, I read this scripture again quickly. To Christ give all the prophets witness. You know, if all the prophets are witnessing about Christ, either by their life or by the event of their life, that's put through all the prophets, right? Well, with what we can do, by the grace of God, we can do nothing without him anyway. Let me read our opening scriptures that we began with last week. Then we move forward. We may have another one more series after this today, you know, just to contrive it. Anyway, Peter, Simon at the house of Cornelius is where we took our text from in Acts 10:43, where he said to him, in the Lord Jesus, give all the prophets witness. That is in Acts 10:43. And we see many things in the calling of the disciples, you know, at the earlier calling of the disciples in John chapter 1, how John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus. This is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And two of his follower disciples had it, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Master, Rabbani, where they let down? The Lord said, come see. And they spent the rest of the day with the Lord. And we know the Bible didn't need two of them. He knew one of them, Andrew, who was brother Peter's brother. And so in John chapter 1, verse 41, after Andrew left the Lord, here's what he did in John chapter 1, 41. And he, meaning Andrew, forth found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He couldn't hold it. Praise God. He was definite, you know, not maybe. No, we have found the Messiah. See, definite and some of that, you know. And of course, you know what happened there. And then of course, the Lord called Philip in verse 45 of the same chapter. I love the testimony of Philip. The Lord just said, follow me. No argument. He just followed the Lord. What an obedience. You know, that's a divine revelation in the spirit. He just followed the Lord. And you know what? You know, that's the spirit of Christianity. When we have Christ, we can't keep quiet. Amen. We must testify. That is it. Praise God. And that's how it should be with every Christian, you know. That, look at the two of them right there. When Andrew has found the law, he couldn't hold it. He first of all found it. Look, before I go to my brother needs to be in the kingdom of heaven too, amen?
Yeah.
Go locate his brother and so on, you know, and testify. And when God called Philip, Lord called Philip, the same thing. That's the testimony of every Christian, right? And Bible says, and Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See? So, again, he testified and so on that, you know. Where to the Jews, the Lord said this in John chapter 5, 46. They think they believe in Moses, right? You think I will accuse you before Moses? I accuse you. No, I won't accuse you. That's what I accuse you. Moses, whom you trust. Then I jump to verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, the Lord said, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. And verse 47 says, but if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my writings or my words? Then one more thing before we go into the depth of it is in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. On the day of resurrection, in the evening of that day, two of the believers were going to Emmaus. You all know that story by now. And they were talking about the events of the day, the resurrection, somewhere to the sepulchre, and they said they have seen the Lord and so on. Anyway, the Lord appeared to them in 37th verse of Luke 24. And the Lord, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses, the Lord, and all the prophets, see that wonderful, talking about all the prophets, did bear witness of the Lord Jesus. All of them, you know, are beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he found something in all the prophets about himself. He is the God of the prophets, isn't it? Bible says he gave those prophets those words, right? You know, so he knew what he was talking about there. Anyway, the purpose of this, you want to call it a series, here is the purpose. The Holy Spirit is revealing these things we are talking about here to show that the Word of God has just one great subject. And what is that subject? That one great all-pervading subject is Christ. That's it. And all else stands in relation to him. That's the subject. All the thing is about Christ. This whole book is about Christ. And all other things, they stand in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and the ending of scripture. Amen. He is. Praise the Lord. See, I don't know. He treats my heart. And this has been in my heart for many years. I always say in the summary, I will say you can find Jesus in every book of the Bible. I used to say, just enter my heart this time around. Let's go through it, you know, and see if it's really so. We'll be that last Sunday. I'm going to continue. I got one more or so at the end of this, the Lord willing. Anyway, last week we began where the Lord Jesus began to expand unto those two disciples on the way to Emmaus in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself, like I just read just now, meaning at Moses. And we're talking about Moses, we're talking about the Pentateuch, right? All the first five books in the Bible. And so last week, we are reading that book, all the, you know, in Genesis, begin from Genesis, right? And we know Moses wrote those things by divine inspiration. All scripture are by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Holy men of God, they speak, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Moses wrote them by divine inspiration, you know, of the Holy Spirit. And last week we see how the Lord Jesus was typed in creation, and we show that he is the creator, you know. Genesis 1:1, so on the creation, the Lord Jesus is the creator. We saw that. We saw the Lord Jesus typed in Adam. We saw the Lord Jesus typed in Abraham. We saw the Lord Jesus typed in Isaac. And we saw the Lord Jesus typed in Joseph last week. I'm going to continue this morning, so we just leave Genesis in there. Move to the other books, right? The writings of Moses, right? The Moses talk about him in Exodus. Let's look at it, and so I'm going to go through a couple of the rest of the book of the Pentateuch this morning, and see how the Bible talk about the Lord Jesus. In Exodus, some of them, I can just use like two lines to summarize how it reveals Christ. Others, I will expand by the grace of God on some either people in there, or events in there that portray the Lord Jesus. So Exodus tells us of the suffering and the glory of Moses. Talking about Moses, but he was pointing to God really, to Christ really. And suffering and the glory of Moses, as Genesis does of Joseph. That's what we saw that one, right? Mm-hmm. The suffering of Joseph and then the glory that came there. So in Exodus, talking about now is the suffering of Moses and the glory thereof, right? In both cases, we see a tie of the sufferings and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Both in Joseph and even I'm going to see this morning in Moses, you know. It's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We saw that Joseph's suffering began as we are, with his rejection by his own brethren, right?
Yeah.
As they questioned him in Genesis 37, verse 8. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?
Mm-hmm.
And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his word. This man has nothing to do with this dream. They just came of God, right? We come to it in your own life too, you know. Anyway, likewise, in Exodus 2, 13 to 14, what do we say about Moses? Moses' suffering began with his rejection. The same thing like Moses, right? With his rejection. And the question of one of the two men of the Hebrews, of his own people, right? You know, and they ask him, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? The same kind of question, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were all pointing to Christ, right?
Yeah.
How can it be different, you know? Can it be different? So we see in Paul, we see the rejection of Christ by a similar question. The thought of their hearts being put into their lips in the parable that the Lord gave. The same thing. And we brought it out in last week in Luke 19:14, where in the parable he said his citizens hated him, like they did Joseph, right? And sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over all." That's Luke 19:14. We are portraying how all the prophets, their witness of the Lord by their life, for the events of their life. But the issue in all these cases, three cases, are the same issue. What was it? Of each, it is true. As it is said about Moses in Acts chapter 7, in all three cases, it's like what was said of Moses in Acts 7 by Stephen, you know, what he was rebuking there, and so on that, you know. In verse 35 of Acts 7, we read, "This Moses," so this other, and like this one, "This Moses, whom they refused," you see that, "whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." The same thing with Joseph, right? Whether they like it or not, they refuse him, who, you know, but the same Joseph had to rule over them.
Hallelujah.
The same thing with Moses. And the same with Christ. That's right. So even so, in Acts 3:19, concerning the Lord Jesus, "When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, what will happen? He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken." Look at this again. "By the mouth of all," that's some of them, "of all his holy prophets since the world began." The Bible is consistent. It's just so fascinating. It's invigorating. It's revelatory. Praise the Lord. It's faith. It's uplifting. It's faith generating. People like to hear things like, "Oh, God gave me this." When you really get the revelation of God's word, you just have faith in it. Supernatural faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, thus, early in the book of Genesis and Exodus, what do we see? We have the great subject of the suffering and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ being revealed in all those things that you have been. That you see, they foreshadow the suffering of Christ. That's why in Luke 24, verse 26, talking about that suffering and the glory, I go by it again. It's in the Bible. But those which shall tell us about the suffering and the glory of Christ. And the Lord Himself said so. In Luke 24:26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered this thing, his suffering, and then to enter into his glory?" Not only did the Lord say it, but the apostle said the same thing in 1 Peter 1:11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them," talking of the prophets, right? "Which was in them." You know, this signifies when the Spirit testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And brother Peter again by the Holy Ghost in 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness," say a witness, "of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker," he believed God, you know that means a partaker of the glory to be revealed. He himself suffered, right? In fact, we can't even go to his own suffering. Whether he be crucified, "No, don't crucify me upside, please crucify me upside down. I'm not worried to be crucified like my Lord," you know. Suffer a lot and something that you know, but he knew he partake of the glory to be revealed. Now, I will say of this to you and me, to all believers really. Peter was not alone in this thing. Every Christian, anybody who will live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. Amen? Everyone that will live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. That which I don't have here. But the Lord already told us to, you know, in Matthew 10:22, and the Lord said it. Well, the disciples, if you are disciples, you are disciples too. And ye shall be hated, you see that, of all men, for my name's sake. That's to all Christians. Not only the disciples. Like they hated him. Like they hated Joseph, right? Like they hated the Lord, right? They were a true Christian. I was somewhere with some brethren yesterday talking about this thing and something like that. You know, they said, do you know that the gay people, once you mention that you are a Christian, they just take you to be their enemy.
Exactly.
And they just hate you. I'm sorry?
Exactly.
Yeah. They say, once you just mention that you are a Christian, even if you have done them no wrong, they will just hate you. You know, like they still are against them, you know. So you see, you are so persecution one way or the other. In the book of Hebrews 11, persecution is in different ways. Some by mockery, they mock you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even your own family, they mock you, right? So that the glory to be revealed, which are a partaker of, right?
Amen.
So it applies to every Christian, you know. So the Lord said in Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, just by being called by the name of Christ, right? My name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. The disciple, the Lord begins to tell and encourage you and I. The disciple, when people mock you and you preach, can they laugh at you? They mock you. What are they talking about? You know, anyway. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. So now, as we witness of the great people that is coming upon us right now, have this in mind when you are witness and so on, as you know. So they call him Beelzebub, right? How much more shall they call them of his household? Let me to tell the disciple, I'm sure. Now, in 1 Peter 4:13, now, this is the blessing right now. So you have been mocked too, you have been hated too. Bible says, but in 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. You see? That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen? That his glory to be revealed in us at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we move on now. So now, the book of Exodus also tells us, number one, Christ being the true Paschal lamb, the true Passover lamb. That's what Exodus teaches us, among many things. And the New Testament brought it out in 1 Corinthians 5:7, the truth of what is in Exodus about the priesthood and so on, that Jesus Christ is the Paschal lamb. It's a type of the Paschal lamb, is the Paschal lamb, the true Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, telling the Christian that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, see, our Paschal lamb, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, you see. I mean, there should be no malice in the Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of any type, for whatever reason, shouldn't be there, you know, of malice and wickedness, you know, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Praise the Lord. So Christ, all the things we are doing in the book of Exodus, India, all those things, you know, the lamb and so on, is just pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. Also in the book of Exodus, Christ is revealed or being foreshadowed as the true priest. In Exodus 30:1, and thou shalt make an altar, talking to Moses now, to burn incense upon, of shittim wood, he said, shall thou make it. There are 10 says, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it, meaning upon the horns of the altar, what we're talking about here, once in a year, and with the blood of the sin offering of atonement, once in the year, shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations? It is most holy all to the Lord. So all these things are being done, foreshadowing the true priest, the eternal priest, the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews 5:4, we read concerning these things. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. Thinking Aaron was just there for nothing. Just for that time, it's all starting Christ, right? And he said that, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, No? So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Verse 6 says, As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, of which the Bible is able to say, even speak more before we finish here this morning. Also in the book of Exodus, Christ was also typified or referenced to as the minister of the true tabernacle. Where, I will just read the New Testament version of that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. You can see all these books, the writings of Moses, all referencing to Christ, you know, as the ultimate, you know, one that he was writing about, and so on. Let's leave Exodus alone. Some of them I just give one liner in one of the books of Moses as he wrote. Like Leviticus, I just give one sentence. Leviticus gives us in the offerings, right? The offerings in there, right? In the offerings, a fourfold view of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the sin and the trespass offerings, like that, and so on, that, you know, and like the four gospels, give us a fourfold view of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Leviticus taught us, the offerings and things like that, if you read the book very well and so on. There I will leave that word. How about the book of Numbers that Moses wrote by divine inspiration? Many things to say about that book, you know. Number one, he foreshadowed the Son of Man came to be lifted up. Talking of Christ being lifted up at the end. In Numbers 21 verse 8, And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, you know they are sin, when they sin, and that, you know, we won't go to what they did, but this is just the remedy. When he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had beaten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The Lord talking to Nicodemus in John 3, Very, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and so that, you know. Then the Lord told him many other things in John verse 13 of verse of John 3. The thing that Moses did, and they are pointing to something greater. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He wrote about me, didn't he? Praise God. In so many ways. I'm going to call to Moses himself. How is the time? I'll get to it. I'm going to ahead of myself right now. He wrote about me. So for the Son of Man, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that what happened, that internet was pointing to something greater. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to save the world. And those who look unto him shall be saved. Not only that, book of Numbers reveal Christ as the rock. He said it in Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather down the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Speak to the rock? What kind of rock is that? Speak to the rock, anyway, before their eyes. And he shall give forth his water. He used it for that rock. Mm-hmm. He used it for, he said, shall give forth his water. My Lord, see? Give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Verse 9 says, And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gather the congregation together before the rock. Before the rock. Praise God. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. He rebuked them, was so angry with them. See? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. You know, a lot of things in there, and he got into trouble right there. He let the anger, the deeds of the people getting so angry. That he struck the rock twice, and the Lord was angry with him too, you know. He said he did not sanctify before the eyes of the people in striking that rock twice. Christ, it will be smitten only once, amen? Mm-hmm. Not twice and so on. That. In the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is 6:6, where a Christian begins to battle and so on, you are crucifying afresh the Son of God in your life. Don't do it. Christ was to be crucified. The Bible says that Christ haven't died, once he dies no more again. You see? So, because that rock was in behind Christ, so why can you strike? Christ was not to be smitten twice. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, it was a rock. Well, let's see, let the Bible speak about it. What the rock is and so on. We are now told, what kind of rock is that? That, you know, the Bible says it bring up its water. It's pointing to the Lord, Jesus Christ. Even in 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible now told us plainly, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, let me begin to verse 1. What that rock, that rock, you know, I bring out the water. What was that rock? 1 Corinthians 10, 1. You see, he said he wrote about me. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. We see that one later. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. See? That was the mystery. The mystery revealed. That followed them. And explicitly, he said, that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. See? He wrote about me. In all the action, in all the acts and so on, all is about Christ and so on. That's only one great subject of all scripture is Jesus Christ our Lord from Genesis to Revelation. Praise the Lord. You can see it all over the place, you know. So we see right there, that rock was Christ. It made it so plain. Anyway, how about the manna that he ate, you know, the manna, foreshadowing the living bread from heaven. That's why I speak a little bit also. In Numbers 11:7, we read, you know, and the manna was as Corinthian seed. And the color thereof as the color of Bideno. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, which we will do Deuteronomy by itself later, but let's just read it from here by the manner. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years, you know, in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, does man live. Now, see? Now, that's manna. Now, he came to John chapter 6 now. The Lord began to now unfold what was happening in that manna thing. They were talking to the Lord. They were saying that, Moses gave us manna to eat in the wilderness and so on. In John chapter 6, I read quite a bit of scripture here in John 6. one of the best, revealing, chapters in the New Testament, and so as far as I'm concerned, John 6:30, I believe from verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doth thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, see? As it is written. They know the Torah, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Even that manna is pointing to something greater. What the Lord is telling them here, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. See, that's the whole purpose. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. See, I am, he keep on saying it, the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Just reading them, without even talking so much, just reading them. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, the Lord said, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. These are deep things of God. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He shall live by me. So that's why I start talking about the devil and so on. You live by the law. Your life is hid in Christ with God. Amen. Colossians 3:3, I believe it is, and so on. Your life is hid. But for you, if you look at I that liveth, Galatians 2:20, but Christ that liveth in me. The life, I don't live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That daily practicing, abandoning yourself to the Lord. Amen. Just let him take full control of you. This is the end of all controversy, Just say, Lord, have your way. He abandoned himself, disowned himself. See? We are not even our own. Amen. Even our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, that we receive of God from heaven. Okay, from, can you imagine the Spirit of the living God coming from heaven? The same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelling in you and I. The quickening Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we see. So the same thing he told the woman at the well. You happen to draw with what kind of water that you want to give. The well is so deep. Are you greater than Jacob, our father, who gave this well to Joseph, this Isaac, and for that, The Lord said, the water I'm going to give you, when you drink it, you don't have to come here again. Give me this water. Amen. See? Out of their belly, rivers of living water. So, anyway, so we see right there. So, verse 56, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and were dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Amen?
Amen.
Now we have eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So all this manna, they were just pointing. And you see, they refused the manna, right? They now complain. They now give the best of Bible cement earth angel food. You didn't satisfy them, right? They won the quiz. And the Lord in Psalm 78. And the Lord laid down the quiz. And while they were still eating, they lost through the fatness of them, right? See? A perfect nutrition something. They didn't like the taste. which was the most nutritious thing ever, right?
Very delicious, bro. We ate it during the Christmas.
Oh, you did?
Quail.
Oh, really? Quail. Yeah.
It tastes better than chicken.
So anyway, they all laid it down for them and so on. And then they were, anyway, so praise God. So it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Now, one more thing about this book of Numbers is this. It's a portrayal of the future star that will arise out of Jacob, you know? So that's right in the book of, in the same book, 24 of number, 24, maybe we already read here, but number 24, verse 15. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and a man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which had the word of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, an open vision. I shall see him, I'm going. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Shed. Not talking about the events around this thing, we are just concerned about that star out of Jacob, you know, that Moses wrote these things, you know, and you know that Balaam talked about. So we see that star in Luke 1:76. I want to read something. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And that child, this is Zechariah now talking about his son, John, and something that you know. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That which I have written before. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, mark that word, day spring, from on high has visited us. I'll be talking about the day spring quickly. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The only other place in the Bible that word day spring is used is in the book of Job, the 38th chapter, verse 12. So I will read it quickly. John's daddy prophesied this thing and so on, that you know. Job 38, verse 12. As thou commanded the morning since thy days, and called the day spring to know his place, asking Job these questions and things like that, you know. It's another two places in the whole Bible where that word day spring is. What is it? What does it really mean? That time, it means literally the dawn or the morning. That's what it really means. That day spring means the dawn or the morning. But here in Zechariah's prophecy, the day spring was a metaphor, really, was a metaphor for the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will soon arrive after that prophecy was given, you know. So it was a metaphor pointing to Christ, you know, spoken back in Numbers, talking about Christ. Now let's quickly finish up with that star in 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. You see, even the day spring. Talk of the day dawn here, right? Until the day dawn, and I watch, and the day star arise in your heart. So that's that. Remember, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where a little bit here, you talk about the day star. The day star. Where, you know what? Look at the heavens now. We are at the star. Praise God. Yeah, there is a day star. You know, our sun in a astronomical parlance is a star too. You know, it is a star. Really, you know, and so our sun is also a star, but the one, I mean. Kind of a day star, right? our son is a cast of a day star, you know, and the other stars are, you know, are skilled by it as well as, you know. So anyway, so this is our son. Let's talk a little bit about our son and son, you know. So our son is so big, you know, the physical son here is so big. It's about the diameter is about 864,938 miles. This our son you are looking at our son. It's so big as we see as you know. And the circumference of our son, the circumference thereof is about 2,713,406 miles. The circumference of our sun. I want to show you some. I'm saying that for a purpose. A digression here, you know. A little astronomy here and some, I think that you know, which is a true science. I don't know that you know. So now I'll show you how big our sun is, right? The diameter is about 2.7 million miles. This is our sun. Now you could line up 109 of our earth across the face of the sun. 109 of the face of our earth. Upon the face of our sun, that's how big our sun is. Just to give you a perspective of how big our sun is, you know. Now, that may appear big to you, right? You know, you think it's big and so on. It may appear to be the largest star in the sky, but not so. No, it's so just because it's near here. On the stellar scale, look at the whole universe. It's really quite an average size, as big as it is, meaning this is our sun, it's an average size. It's in between. About half of the known stars are bigger than it, and about half of the known stars are smaller than our sun. So it's in between, really, our sun, you know. So now, the largest known star in the universe is called the UY Scotty. A hypergiant, they call it. The radius of it is about 1,700 times larger than our sun. I show you how big our sun is, right? But the biggest known star is UY Scotty, and it's about 1,700 times larger than our own sun. And it's not alone in the dwarfing of our Earth star. They call it our own sun. Just a little bit about our own sun, so that you know. But this sun here in the prophecy that Peter gave, and so that you know, that number pointed to a number in the 24, this is the day star of prophecy. And it is the star of eternity, you know. It outshines all the stars of all the universes. In fact, it created all the other stars. That's the star of prophet that Peter wrote about in that chapter and some of that, you know. So, to Agrippa, Paul was testifying to Agrippa, right? Agrippa, I know that you believe God. How do you count it incredible that God should raise the dead, Agrippa? Anyway. Then what he told him in Acts 26:13 is this, talking about his own conversion, talking about the sun and sun, the brightness of this light and so on that, you know. So when the light appeared, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journey with me. Can you see the light, what the light of God, the true light, that is when they appear. This sun is just obscure, it, isn't it? Because he created this sun. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine? You know, you appear and the light upon him, I mean, it just outshine our sun. So that is true, you know, star, the light that we're talking about in there, you know. Anyway, let's move on. This star that was prophesied in number 22 of Revelation, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you this thing in the churches. And the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. So that number 24:17 that we read before is pointing directly to Christ in prophecy at that time. It's a type pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes. Now I'm going to leave the book of Numbers alone. I'm going to the last book that Moses wrote. Say he wrote about me, right? I'm going to Deuteronomy real quickly as I finish up here. This is even contriving this whole thing. There is much more to this thing, as well as you know. But to save us time, as well as you know, let's see the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses stopped, and so on, as you know, the book of Moses. Now, where it stopped, Deuteronomy. Now, first of all, he pointed it to a coming prophet, like unto himself. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, I read, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren that unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said unto you, now this is Moses recapping his ministry now, and reminding them and summarizing all that has happened. And in almost nearly 40 years, you know, took him about 37 days to write this book. This is according to people who have looked into it and so on, you know. Anyway, so verse 18. So, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet. Verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So, Moses, even directly pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, say, prophet like unto me, say he said, and so. What is happening here? So, here, Moses, in the spirit of prophecy, what was he talking about? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, looked forward to the great mediator, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was telling the people and so on. So in these verses, the Lord reminded the children of Israel that they had asked Moses to be their mediator. But Moses was only a foretype, you know, of the great mediator, the one that the Lord would send. Now let me wrap that up, how Moses typed Christ, without reading all the scriptures and talk about them. But about 10, it's a sublist really. I can't really go through it all the list. How Moses himself typed Christ. Number one, his life was attempted at birth. That Christ's life was attempted, right? Even his life typified Christ. Number two, he tried to deliver his brethren, but was rejected, like we read before, just as Christ was rejected. Moses took a Gentile bride, right? Even so, Christ taking a Gentile bride. See, all the prophets, they bear witness of Christ, right? Moses inclusive and so on. Either by their life, they type Christ, or by the events, or by their prophecy, they talk about him and so on, that you know. Now, he was called of God to redeem Israel, as Christ was. Moses fed the nation of Israel with manna, and we just went to that just now, as Christ, the true bread of life. And that, you know, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights on the mount, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Moses' face shone on the mount. In fact, they couldn't even look at his face, right? As he was coming down, he had to put a veil upon his face, you know, as he was coming down with those tablets, and, you know, His face shone on the mount. And of course, on the mount of transfiguration, the Lord was transfigured, you know. And his pre-incarnate being was temporarily revealed, you know, in that man. So we see a type, which was typing him right there. Now, but he was the great intercessor of the Old Testament, meaning Moses, even as Christ is our great intercessor. In Hebrews 7:25, I don't have it here, Bible says, having suffered all these things, he is able to succor us, seeing that he didn't make intercession for us. So Moses was an intercessor. He was pointing to Christ in all pattern of his life, you know. So yeah, that's why he wrote about Christ. Now, he was meek, even as Christ was meek. The Lord said, take my body upon you. My yoke is easy, my body is light. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. So Moses was said to be one of the most meek person out there. Another point is, before I finish, he raised the brazen serpent, like I show you right now. I went through that one before in the wilderness, which was a type of Christ. And then, so this morning, you got the stopping right there. And you know, so but lastly, before we finish right there, so the rock, he typed the rock and refuge of his people. in that Deuteronomy book and so on. He makes her to be a type of the refuge for God's people. That is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. And that's what I want to read this morning. And he read, he said, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish," he said, "the name of the Lord. Ascribe the greatness unto our God. He is the rock," you see, talking about the Lord Jesus. "He is the rock, like we read before. His work is perfect, for his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Praise the Lord. Last scripture. This is Deuteronomy 32, talking about the rock again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's 32 of Deuteronomy 1 through 4. And again, we'll continue the last verse I want to read, 33 of Deuteronomy, 33 verse 26. "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help." That's your help, that's my help, amen. God is our help. Like somebody was talking about, she was talking about, you know, Isaiah 41, right? "Say, I will help thee, I will strengthen thee," right? "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Go ahead. I'm in Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, right? So, talking about the Lord, see, and so on, see. "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rather upon the heaven, in that help, your help, my help, right? I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." So, and in his excellency on the sky, the last verse, 27. "The eternal God this morning is your refuge," amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Such a time that the eternal God is thy refuge. "And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before you," amen? "And shall say, destroy them." So even they are prophesying about the cry, the rock, and so on. And that's a blessing to us today. I'm always using, "It's your help, it's my help," you know. And the Bible says, "His everlasting arms are underneath you," you see. And trust the enemy before you. So we bless the name of the Lord. That is the Pentateuch. By the grace of God, we have one more. I'll just put all the prophets into one sermon, one message by God's grace. We've talked, see, Moses wrote about him. So we went through the next to Deuteronomy, all the five books, right? So then, by God's grace, we want to see them in the prophecy, beginning as Moses and all the prophets, right? So by God's grace, I'm looking forward to one time, one more of this, where we put all the prophets together and see what they speak about Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wonder what you were telling, you know, at Bethany, you know, to Mary and Martha. You know, you saw that, you know, Martha was running around the whole place, see what he want to cook and what he want to drink. Mary sat down and so on. He said, "Mary, you know, he has received a greater blessing because he sat down listening to the word of God." Lord, thank you this morning, Lord. Your word is just so wonderful, Lord. The entrance is also giving us light, Lord. You know, give us understanding, Lord. Lord, we worship and we adore you. Whatever we need this morning, Lord, is ours to claim. We see your majesty in your word. There is only one. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, so I commit, Lord God, us to your hand this morning. As we go here, Lord, as we have even day by day a better understanding of the scriptures. He told the Jews, "Sell the scriptures, sir, in which you think you have eternal life. They are that testify of me." So therefore, Lord, as we go this morning, as we take this Bible jealously, I mean, read it, you know, like never before, and you know, and pray and let the Holy Ghost lead us, Lord. Then faith will become spontaneous. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. When it is revelated, faith becomes automatic almost, Lord. So we thank you for helping us understand the scripture this morning. You know, it's just a delight to read your word and to see revelation made known to us like this, like I've been hearing. So we worship and we adore you, Lord. So we commit all our needs to your hand this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you because that same word of God we have been reading all day long says that you will supply all our need. We believe, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, your word says that you came that we may have life in John 10:10, that we may have it more abundantly. So let it be to us, Lord, according to thy word. In the name of Jesus, commit thy works unto the Lord. So shall your thoughts be established. He cares about our work. He cares about everything about us. He casting all, 1 Peter 5, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. So therefore we cast all our cares upon you this morning. Never will you fail. I will never fail thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship and we adore you. That whatsoever we do shall prosper. In 3 John 3:2, he said, in 3 John 3, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Lord, let it be unto us according to your word. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. That by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This be the will of God our Father. And so be it unto us, Lord, according to thy word. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we go now, Lord, we know your ever-abiding presence. Great with us, Lord. Your angel does encamp around us. We are given under the shadow of the Almighty God. Your glory is upon us for a defense. In the name of the Lord Jesus, make us a blessing everywhere we go, Lord, to the people around us, Lord. Lord, the heart is being filled with darkness and so forth. Wherever we go, darkness must have to depart.
Yes.
Those that are sitting in darkness must see the light in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, let your light so shine so that men may see it. We got to see it and glorify not us, but our Father which is in heaven. Let this world know that we have been with Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until we meet again, Lord, Lord, you're going to watch between us. Father, we worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's coming back again.